Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem HSP, share number 34, highly sensitive people, share number 34. And today we're going to talk about the five gifts of sensitivity. This is taken from also a really insightful book called Sensitive by Jen Graneman and Andrew Solo, The Hidden Power of a Highly Sensitive Person in a Loud, Fast, Too Much World. And she has a chapter three, The Five Gifts of Sensitivity. I skip chapter two. Chapter two is more like scientific and genetic aspects and those type of things. I'm trying to make it as practical as possible, so I really didn't do much of that chapter. There's other things that are in-depth, even Elaine Aaron's book that was very scientific-oriented that I did not go through in detail, but try to get to the most practical aspects of things. So she starts out with a quote from somebody saying, being gifted doesn't mean you've been given something. It means you have something to give. And it's put here, I guess, for a reason, explaining how these gifts of sensitivity, once, despite the burdens and challenges of it, if we overcome it in a healthy way, we can be a gift to so many around us and a light to so many of people around us. And they're blessed to have HSPs in their lives because of the gifts that they have naturally, that they, by being healthy, give it to others. She goes through somebody, Jane Goodall. She was someone who dealt with chimpanzees and she talks about her being an HSP and how her empathy, even with animals like that, helped her with her research. They go into the wrong conclusion of saying they're human-like, which we explained many times before, how that is, where people make the mistake about evolution thinking, which is true, that they share about 95% of the DNA of human beings. That is true. But they don't know what the Maral says and what we believe, that Hashem created this initially, that there should be sort of a border between the categories of species. So the Maral does bring down, and it's from, I think, Rishonim, that the kaif, the chimpanzee, the gorilla, that aspect of monkey is like a bridge between the animal life and human life. Hashem made that on purpose, intrinsically built in like that. But again, the only one that has free will and the only one that has a tzelem alikim and nishmas chayim is a human being. That's beyond that. But anyway, we go into empathy. Empathy is the first gift. Empathy is the first gift. It's the idea of being noisa ba'oil im chaveray. It is feeling into, bringing your own emotional perspective to everything you see and everything you hear. Emotions and empathy tells us what the other person is feeling, and they feel nuanced into it, and they actually feel into things. They could feel into artwork even, or into the Bria, into things they see in nature, and they could feel into human beings too. Sensitive people have an extremely high level of empathy. It could be seen in brain scans, literally. In the study discussed, the participants looked at photos of people either smiling or looking sad. Some of these pictures were of strangers, some were their own husbands or wives, and on the brain level, everyone showed some level of empathetic response, especially for a loved one if they were sad in the picture. But the most sensitive participants had more brain activity across the board in regions in the brain associated with awareness and empathy and relating to others, even for the pictures of strangers. Even for the pictures of strangers, the sensitive people's brains also lit up in those areas and in the areas of action planning. So the idea is that a sensitive people, they self-report this, they cannot watch a stranger in pain without feeling a desire to help. Their shyness may hold them back. Their worry about things may hold them back, but they have in them an impulse to help. The opposite of empathy, unfortunately, is there are individuals that intrinsically have low empathy, and that would be the textbook psychopath. Thank God it's a very, very low part of the population. Diagnosed psychopaths have a smaller, less active amygdala, which is the part of the brain that recognizes the signs of fear and pain in other people, which allows empathy to happen. They do have the capacity of empathy when they focus on it. That's why even psychopaths, they need some help and training. They do have bechira. Not every psychopath becomes a mass murderer, but they need real focused effort to be affected and to feel that empathy. And that's very chilling about psychopaths, even though they don't all commit crimes, but they're easily fall into behavior that is antisocial, callous, even outright violent. Now, thank God, like we said, it's maybe 1% of the general population that have this tendency, but they make up 25% of the men in federal prisons, actually. And they, psychopaths represent the low end of the empathy scale. Unfortunately, many sociopaths, which is a different level of it, lower level, and many narcissists also have a lower degree of empathy. From studying that, you can see the opposite of the high end, high level of empathy. It doesn't come with disorders. A low level of empathy is an actual disorder. You can't function as a normal human being and you're harmful to other people. High empathy, not necessarily so. And used the right way, they're not only healthy, but they could do extraordinary acts of special compassion. That is really mind-boggling how powerful that empathy is. And there are studies about this. This empathy deficit is the root of many problems. When sensitive people come in with their gift of empathy, it's a great gift to the world. Now, you could misuse empathy too. You know, when you have Rachmanis, you have excess mercy on harmful people, or you feed unhealthy things to a baby because they're crying for it, you know. So you have to regulate that empathy, but that is a real strong intrinsic aspect in human nature, and empathy drives success. We're going to go into that a different time. So that's one of the gifts of a highly sensitive person, that we could daven and pray to use that in the most healthiest way. The second one is creativity. It's a mind that notices more detail, a mind that makes more connections, feels emotions vividly, and because of that, they're wired for creativity. And the true creativity is when you're able to blend the true balance between empathetic, emotional aspects and intellectual aspects combined. And the idea of which highly sensitive people have, they see nuances, so they see opposite perspectives. So there's one particular person that was an author, a journalist in the 1960s, born in Budapest, name was Kastler. And spent the early years as a passionate communist. Later in life, changed his position and became anti-communist. And he noticed this concept of him able to shift that way when he finally came to that truth to generate original ideas. Because creativity comes from seeing multicultural things and opposite perspectives. And that is the connection between sensitive people and creativity, because creative, highly sensitive people make connections between vastly different concepts. And a sensitive mind can blend frame from references without ever leaving home. It's just internal in their brain. They have that. So here are some testimonies. You may not feel that you're creative, but there's no question that creativity is connected to highly sensitive people. It doesn't operate alone. We're going to learn later there's sensory intelligence and depth of processing and depth of emotion, other factors that add to the creativity. So one person said as follows: as a high school teacher, I would be standing in the middle of my students, not even facing them at all, and I could feel the emotional state they are in. There was always a lot going on with teenagers, and I knew what to say and what to avoid saying so that everyone can feel safe in my classroom. Another person, a woman physician, said, I am a physician. I have caught details that my patients previously previous physicians have missed, leading to improved diagnosis and management of their health. I generally care about my patients, and my patients have commented that they can feel that and appreciate that. Another woman said, my biggest strengths are empathy and compassion. I've noticed that I really hold space well for others in pain without destroying my own energetic capacity. I use these skills as a counselor and as a coach and as a writer. Another one said that I have an intuitive sense of groups of people, which have power where the dynamics of a group exists, when people are shifting away from an idea, what individuals want versus what the group wants. At my job, I'm several steps ahead in the big decisions and movements of the company because of this quote-unquote superpower, and that helped me climb up the ladder. One person said as follows, being sensitive, I was always aware of stressors and irritants in my environment, and I am also highly attuned to the emotions of those around me, so I can tell when something is bothering someone. I therefore always strive to make my environment warm and comfortable and welcoming, and I have been told that my personality is the same. People feel at ease around me. They often open up to me when they might not open up to somebody else. Even strangers in a grocery store end up telling me their life stories, their heartbreaks, and their worries. Another one said, my gift is that I'm at times moved to tears by the beauty and kindness in the world. And one person said as follows, I am an artist. I don't just watch a sunrise. I feel a sunrise. So again, so we have empathy and we have creativity. The next one is something called sensory intelligence. Sensory intelligence means that you're more aware of your environment and you're doing more with that knowledge of being aware of your environment. You're paying more attention to the sensory details themselves. For example, the texture of a painting or implications. It rained yesterday, so it's going to be muddy. When I go for a walk, you'll catch that right away. Anyone can notice such things, but a sensitive person tends to do it more readily. They're more tuned in. They're like a live wire that picks up every signal. Such insights can range from the mundane or something that's truly impactful. More than one sensitive person has saved an employer from a major debacle by paying attention to a nagging detail. And this is there's a story also of a certain actor, a swordsman, that was blind but could always tell that he's being cheated at gambling because he could hear the differences in how the dice fell with his superior sense of hearing. And he also won sword fights, even being blind. To a degree, sensitive people may do something similar with all the five senses that they have. There's one lady that woke up and sensed a change in her husband's breathing. He always snored, but that day the noises sounded off. She checked on him. He had turned blue. He was in cardiac arrest. She performed 30 minutes of CPR until the paramedics had arrived. Few are sensitive enough to wake up from a change of breathing, but if she hadn't been attuned to his sleeping noises or hadn't thought much of it, he would have died in his sleep. So her highly sensitive intelligence of the sensory aspects saved her husband's life. The downside of having that, though, is the overstimulation. Sensitive people are certainly overloaded in their busy environments and their surroundings. They're easily overwhelmed. So it's very important to balance it. You know, in sports, you have something called sensory intelligence of field vision. I'm not going to go into the details. She goes into sports and how that they have a certain Wayne Gretzky, who was one of the greatest hockey players. By his physical attributes, he was slow or small, skinny. He was not aggressive, but once he was on the ice, he could feel the future. I mean, he knew he had a sensory intelligence of where he hit the puck, where that person is going to be. So that's a certain thing in sports, but sensory people have this gift in them of having that sensory feeling. But again, it goes into the danger of the overload that they have to be very, very careful about to guard and to feel safe and to not let it overwhelm them. Bracha v'atzlacha.